So we continue in our application to wives of the fifth commandment. We looked recently at the duties required of wives by God toward their husbands. Respect in heart, word, and behavior. We looked at prayer and thanksgiving for your husband, imitation of the virtues and graces of your husband, willing obedience to your husband's lawful commands and counsels, due submission to your husband's correction, fidelity to, defense, and maintenance of your husband's person and authority, bearing with his infirmities, covering his infirmities in love, and being an honor to your husband and to his government. Now we'll look at the sins forbidden. What ought not a wife to do toward her husband? These are biblical principles, applications of the fifth commandment, which concerns the relationship of one under authority to those in authority over them, specifically in this case, the authority of the husband over the wife. So first sin forbidden, God forbids envying your husband. Envy, the scripture says, is like rottenness to the bones. It's where a person does not desire that another person have some gifting. In this case, it would be the authority that the husband has over his wife. The wife who is envious of her husband does not want him to have the authority that he has. In fact, she wants that authority in most instances. But in any case, envy means she doesn't want that gift to be vested in that other person. So we looked at this. This has been a while, but we looked at where Joshua commanded Moses to forbid these people prophesying in the camp. And you'll recall that Joshua, though he seemed well-intended, he wanted the unique authority of Moses as the man of God and prophet to be secured. Yet Moses rebuked him and said, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would to God all the Lord's people were prophets." But the main point there is that Joshua, as a man under authority, was seeking to usurp Moses' authority, to tell Moses what to do, in other words. And by that action, it demonstrated the envy in his heart. He did not want to submit to Moses' authority. He wanted to be an authority over him. And so God forbids wives from envying their husbands, from wanting to give commandments to their husbands, from being upset that their husband has authority over them. This is the basic sin of egalitarianism, the sin of envy. I don't want there to be any superior above me. I want everyone on the same level as me. I want to abolish, I want to get rid of superiors and inferiors. I want everyone to be equals. This is true in the various forms of egalitarianism, whether you're talking about hierarchies in society. I don't want there to be masters and slaves. Or hierarchies in marriage. I don't want there to be authority vested in parents to tell their children what to do, for example. So this is the child-led home that many people believe in, that parents don't have authority to command their children, or husbands don't have the authority to command their wives, or church authorities don't have the right to tell their people what to do or give them commandments from God. The envious principle that Satan operates on is he doesn't want God to be above him. So envy is a satanic vice. It makes us destroy all the order that God has designed within his creation. And through the redemption in Christ, he's reestablished that order that he established at the first creation. And Satan wants to undo that. He wants to destroy that. And so there, God forbidding wives to be envious toward their husbands, to despise their authority, to wish that their husbands didn't have that authority, or to command their husbands, to instruct their husbands, to correct their husbands. Second sin forbidden of those under authority, and in this case, wives, God forbids contempt of your husband. Now, sometimes in the realities of life, men behave contemptuously. They behave in a way that draws out contempt. But because of the specific relationship that God has established, the ordinary response has to be mollified, it has to be mortified. And rather than this contemptuous attitude of holding the person as lower than you, thinking down upon that person, despising them, rather there ought to be an honoring, an obedience, a submission in that sense. You'll recall this has been a while, but we looked at Isaiah 3, where it talked about the child behaving himself proudly against the ancients. This is one form of superiority, if you'll recall, the superiority of age. Then it says in Isaiah 3:5 that the base would behave himself contemptuously toward the honorable. So this is the rank of superiority in society, a base person, a lesser person versus a greater person in society. In both instances, though, God requires honor from those who are inferiors toward their superiors, whether in wealth, whether in marriage, whether in rank in society, and so forth. So this idea of contempt often follows the idea of envy. A person who's not respecting their authority, a wife who's not respecting her husband, and not wanting him to be with the gifts and authority that he has, envying him, will often end up with contempt for her husband, thinking down upon him, fault-finding, not encouraging, not being thankful, but rather holding her husband in contempt. And then it goes on, God forbids rebellion against your husband's lawful counsels, commands, and corrections. And the instance that the Catechism uses here is Absalom's rebellion. Now, of course, Absalom didn't come right out and start warring against David, who was his superior both in his family as well in the civil sphere, and the attack comes in the civil sphere. But Absalom's rebellion looked more like sidetracking the authority of David. Absalom would come and present himself as a sympathetic ear to those who had causes, to those who had been wronged. Absalom would come and say, well, if you go to David, he's not going to listen to your case. Here, I will solve your problem. I'll give you justice. So it was a sidestepping of the chain of authority that God had established with Absalom's supposed good intentions and also with a flattery toward the people who had problems. So it's a combination of sins that Absalom did. But it wasn't a direct assault. And so rebellion for a wife isn't always going to be a direct refusal to submit to her husband. It often will show itself with a sidetracking of his authority.
Like
with
Michael.
What's that?
Like Michael and David.
Michael and David, yeah. There's that kind of contempt for him, you might say. But we'll get into the idea of mocking him. There seems to be some of that wrapped up in that as well. The idea here, though, is that rebellion for a wife doesn't always show itself as a direct confrontation and refusal to submit. It can also show itself in more, sometimes what we call passive-aggressive means. Refusal to do what you're told. Refusal to learn from the counsels of your husband. Refusal to do things as the husband says. Refusal to receive correction from your husband when you've strayed and he's trying to point it out. These are all aspects of rebellion and don't necessarily require a full frontal confrontation. Usually doesn't show itself that way in the husband-wife relationship. Then it goes on in the Catechism, God forbids a wife from cursing her husband. And we looked in the Proverbs about the eye that curses the father and doth not bless the mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, Scripture says. So this is the relationship of the parent to the child, but it applies to all authorities. Whoever is in authority, whoever has superiority, God requires honor. So cursing is where you have a desire for evil to come upon the other person. You have a desire that some bad thing, and often an invocation of God to carry out your bad wish that you have against this person. Now, cursing is occasionally warranted in the Bible, and it is occasionally used lawfully. There are times to curse, and we find those in Scripture occasionally. In the Psalms, there are some instances of wishing God to do some evil to a person after a train of abuses that they refuse to repent of. This person has done good and good, and all they get back is evil and evil. There is a time for that. But in the specific relationship of the husband and the wife, I can't think of too many instances where that would be suitable. But it's often the follow-on to the envy, the contempt, the rebellion. Cursing often follows because there is a refusal of submission. You have to then justify your refusal to submit. And the way that you justify your refusal to submit is to demonize the other person. So in this case, women often will demonize their husbands, and then they'll begin to issue statements of wishing them ill, curses against them. And this is kind of one of the culminating marks of a rebellious woman who's refused to honor her husband and submit to him, is that she moves into this realm of verbally wishing ill to her husband. Christ also referred to children who don't provide for their parents in their old age as a cursing of father and mother. So that's wishing them ill because you have the means to do them good, and then you pretend that you have some piety toward God and you dedicate that stuff to the temple that you could have helped your parents with. That's also a cursing. So it can be more than just words. It can also be by the actions of wishing ill. So a wife who doesn't care for her infirmed husband would be cursing her husband. She's wishing him ill by not doing him good. And then finally, the catechism talks about God forbids mocking your husband, making fun of him, holding him up for contempt. And you will notice that the culture of egalitarianism generally produces women who mock men and then wives who mock their husbands. So this is part of Satan's strategy to destroy the family and to upset God's order in society, is to get women first to think, well, I'm equal with my husband. There is no superior and inferior here. We're on the same plane. That's the envy part. Then because there's a hardwired thing for men to be in authority and women to be in submission, that leads to contempt, because now she has to somehow draw him down by thinking ill of him, which of course leads to rebellion, culminates in cursing. And finally, when the defeat has happened and Satan has won the victory over a woman, she begins to mock or ridicule her husband, hold him in complete and utter contempt before other people, and speak words to make fun of him. So this is the satanic list of sins that God forbids wives to exercise toward their husbands. Mocking a husband is not the same as playful banter. There are husbands and wives who will say things to joke with each other. That's not what this is talking about. This is when a person actually intends the damage of the husband's reputation. The wife intends to damage her husband's reputation by holding him forth to ridicule, by making fun of him or mocking him. And this is forbidden by God of wives under their husband's authority. So we'll pick up next time, God willing, and conclude on the sins forbidden of the wife. And then after that, I'll do one more lesson to kind of tie together all the various things, the fifth commandment, parenting, and marriage, and to kind of give a summary statement. And then after that, I'm open to suggestions about what we should study next, but I'm intending to go into a study of the shorter catechism with possibly a memorization attached to it and rewards for anyone who memorizes certain hallmarks and then the whole thing. Let's close in prayer.